Over to Alicia to start a new series.
Oh, thanks so much for that, Peter. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Inglewood Community Church. Great to have you in the building and online. If we haven't met before, my name is Alicia, and I am the youth and young adults pastor here at Inglewood. We're just getting some sound stuff sorted out. It's my great joy to be starting off a new series, Glimmers of Hope, where we will be exploring stories, experiences, and moments in Scripture that are full of hope, in the hopes that this will be an encouragement to you, because these moments don't stand alone. They are things that we can expect to see in our everyday. I wonder if you have ever gone to ridiculous lengths for a bargain. Perhaps you have decided to brave the traffic for the Boxing Day sale and elbowed your way through crowds for that great deal. Perhaps you've driven across town for that Facebook Marketplace item, the 1 hour, 2 hour trek, because it was so cheap, you just had to get it. Or maybe you have spent hours scrolling online, comparing prices, watching YouTube unboxing videos, and reading reviews, all for that $5 save. Perhaps you're like some of the young adults here who are constant screen refreshers in order to get those Swiftie tickets. We all love finding something valuable. I, for one, love a bargain and will quite often boast about it. We love that feeling, especially when we discover it. That rush, that spark, when you think, yes, I found it. Yes, I've secured it. Yes, that was worth it. That spark is what I'd like to call a glimmer of hope, a brief shining moment where you see something of worth, something that makes the effort feel worthwhile. And in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46, we get two parables sitting side by side that are exactly about that. The thrill of discovery, the joy of finding something so valuable that you'd give anything for it. So let's read together. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Two stories, two discoveries, one message: that the kingdom of heaven is the greatest treasure you'll ever find. And once you see it, nothing else compares. These parables are going to show us three truths about the kingdom of heaven, about the kingdom of Jesus. And each one reveals a glimmer of hope that can change how we live today. We're going to see in these parables that the kingdom of heaven is a treasure that we discover, that it's a kingdom that is worth our all, and that this kingdom is fully revealed in Jesus. So let's start with that treasure in the field. In the first century, people didn't have banks. There was no safety deposit boxes. So if you had something valuable, you buried it. You hid it away. Over time, owners might die or move, and treasure could be lost
hidden underground for years. So when Jesus says that a man discovered treasure in a field, his audience would have understood just how wild that was, stumbling across a fortune, an inheritance beyond compare. But here's what's fascinating. This man wasn't looking for it. He stumbles across it accidentally. Maybe while he was plowing, maybe while he was walking through the field. Then there's the second story, this merchant searching for fine pearls. This man's entire life is about the search. He's examined thousands, hundreds of pearls, always looking for the perfect one. And one day, he finds it. The one he's been longing for. Both stories describe discovery, but from two different angles. One stumbles across the treasure and the other seeks it intentionally, but both are pictures of how people find the kingdom of God. Some people seem to almost stumble into faith unexpectedly. They have a conversation. There's a moment of crisis. They come along to a worship service. Perhaps they attend that Alpha course. And suddenly their eyes are opened. And then there's others who search for years, reading, questioning, wrestling, until they find that truth that satisfies. But either way, both discover a treasure hiding under their noses that changes everything. Think of it like panning for gold. Before our modern mining practices, people would go panning for gold. They would travel to the bends in creeks and rivers where water slowed down, where there were large rocks, because these were the places where gold was likely to settle. And they would go, they'd collect the grit, the gravel, they would swirl it in the pan. And this process was all about separating the gold hidden within the dirt. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like that Jesus talks about. Something precious hidden in the rubble of the ordinary. The dirt of ordinary life waiting to be found, waiting to be dug up, waiting to be swirled around and separated out. Maybe today you're in a season where you can't see much hope. Everything feels buried under the stress, under uncertainty, disappointment. God may seem far off and hidden. You may feel like it's a dry season where God's face is just completely hidden. Yet the kingdom of God is closer than you think. It's waiting for you to go digging. It's waiting for you to go seeking. It is there waiting to be discovered. So perhaps our prayer should be that the Lord would help us perceive it. To say, Holy Spirit, awaken me. Shake me from distraction, despair, and indifference. And let me see glimpses of hope of your kingdom today, because I don't want to miss out. If the kingdom of heaven is discoverable to anyone, then let us become treasure hunters here at Inglewood Church. The kind of people who go looking for that glimmer of hope in the fields. The kind of people who dig when hope is buried. Who look for something of value in conversation, in creation, and in quiet moments, expecting that if we just give it a swirl, the gold is going to show up. Amen? Because the kingdom of heaven is worth our all. Notice what these two people do once they find the treasure. They sell everything to get it. The man doesn't think twice. He goes home, liquidates his assets, empties his savings, sells his furniture, his donkey, his tools, the cat, the lot. I personally wouldn't miss the cat. He does it with joy. He knows that what he's gaining is worth far more than what he's giving up. And the merchant does the same. He sells his entire stock, every pearl he's ever collected, every lesser thing, to buy this one rare, perfect pearl. The Greek word that's used here is polutimus. Polutimus. It's a combined word out of two Greek roots. The first root means much or many, and the second root means honor, value, price, or merit. It's not just talking about something that's extremely valuable or a pricey luxury, but that idea of honor and merit that's attached can get lost in our translation. This word is so rare that it's only used three times in the entire New Testament. It is used here. It is used when Mary pours the pure nard, the expensive bottle of perfume, to anoint the feet of Jesus, something that was reserved for royalty. And it is used in 1 Peter to describe faith that is tested, that is so genuine it is worth more than gold. This pearl that is found carries with it the weight of kingdom worth. When they see what the treasure is worth, it changes their priorities completely. When you glimpse something of kingdom worth, when you experience the grace of Christ, his forgiveness, his purpose, everything else pales in comparison. It looks smaller. It's just not worth the chase. Think of somebody who is training for the Olympics. They'll give up certain comforts, lots of delicious foods, sleep, free time, chasing after a medal that lasts seconds around their neck. Think of someone saving for a home. You don't have to look much further than me. Peter and I are doing that right now. There are things that we give up in order to afford what we think is worth it. Why? Because we've got a vision of something better ahead. You see, when you believe that something is worth it, sacrifice becomes joyful. Let me say that again. When you believe something is worth it, sacrifice becomes joyful. That's what Jesus means here. The kingdom of heaven, living under God's rule, living under his reign, knowing his peace, carrying his presence, it's worth more than anything you could chase. But here's the question. Do you live like that's true? Do you really believe that this kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, is worth everything? Because if you do, it'll show up in the way that you spend your time, your energy, your money, your attention. And maybe for you today, going all in for the kingdom looks like saying yes to something that God's been nudging you to do. Perhaps it's letting go of something that has been holding your heart in the wrong way. Or perhaps it's choosing obedience, even when it's costly. It's not about earning God's love, it's about responding to the treasure you've already found. I wonder if you've ever heard the story of Jim Elliot, who famously said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He and his friend Pete Fleming traveled to Ecuador in 1952 to become missionaries. They first worked with the Quechua people, learning the language and culture. And they did this for about 3 years while making preparations to reach a hostile tribe group known as the Alcas, who were the enemies of the Quechua people. To reach the Alcas, Jim Elliot and four other missionaries first made aerial contact by dropping gifts from a small plane using a bucket. And after a very positive initial exchange with the tribe members, they decided it was safe enough to set up camp near the settlement. On January 8th, 1956, a group of about 10 Alcas warriors approached the missionaries' camp. And despite the fact that these missionaries had firearms for protection, they had made a pact to not use them. They believed that killing an Alcas person would compromise their mission and eternal destiny. The warriors attacked and killed all five men with spears. Remarkably, 2 years later, Jim Elliot's wife, Elizabeth Elliot, along with their daughters and other family members, returned to live amongst this hostile tribe. The women built trust with the tribe, and through their example of radical forgiveness, many, including some of the warriors who had participated in that killing, converted to Christianity. Jim Elliot and his friends gave their lives for sharing the gospel with an unreached tribe. His life was a glimmer of hope, a reminder that giving all for Jesus is never wasted, and there is nothing better than living a life with eternal purpose. He truly lived out those famous words, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." For Jim Elliot, it was worth the cost of his life to see the lives of unsaved be saved. What about you? Maybe you're clinging to something, a fear, a comfort, an old hurt, a bad idea, poor company. And let me be clear that poor company doesn't just mean people. Sometimes poor company, it's simply what we spend our time with, and that can include the influences on social media, the shows that we watch. What are you clinging to that is keeping you from fully embracing the treasure that is the kingdom of heaven And what might it look like to let it go? I want to challenge you this week to ask God, what are you asking me to release so I can hold on to what's eternal? Because every step of surrender is a step into freedom. And every sacrifice we make is a glimmer of hope for the people watching our lives. I think of that moment where Jim and his mates decided to make that pact. No guns, because it's going to affect our mission and the eternal destiny, and we will not compromise on that. Here at Inglewood Community Church, we are a people who have decided that when we follow Jesus, we are not going to make compromises. So it's important this week to ask yourself, are there areas in my life where I am compromising the gospel I follow? Where I am actually leading myself back to that wide road that I said I'm not going there? And is there something that needs to be given up in order to fully embrace the treasure that's better? So let's look at this from another angle. What if Jesus isn't just describing us finding the kingdom? What if he's describing himself? In the first story, the kingdom is the treasure. In the second, the kingdom is the merchant. Maybe that surprises you that it's not the person seeking each time. The first, it's the treasure, not the one seeking it, but the second, it's the seeker. This means that Jesus is both the treasure we discover and the one who gave everything to redeem us. He is the treasure that the stumbling person discovers. He is the inheritance that transforms our future. But he is also the merchant who sees the pearl, who sees you and me and says, I'll pay whatever it costs. And what did it cost him? Everything. On the cross, Jesus gave his life to bring us into his kingdom. He looked at us, broken, imperfect, and lost, and said, you're worth it. That's the ultimate glimmer of hope, the kind that doesn't flicker out. When you truly see yourself as the treasure that Jesus gave everything for, you stop striving to earn love and start living from it. You start walking with hope even when life feels dark, because you know the price that was paid for you. So every morning this week, I want you to say to yourself, I am the treasure that Jesus gave everything for. And I want you to let that truth reshape your confidence and your peace. But what happened after? I often wonder, what did the man and the merchant do after they bought the treasure? I bet you they didn't keep that story to themselves. I imagine them saying, you won't believe what I found, as they invite friends and family and others around the table. You see, when you discover something that good, you can't stay silent. And that's how the kingdom message spreads. It's one person at a time sharing their story. So ask yourself today, you know, who in your life needs that glimmer of hope? Who's walking through something today that's heavy and could use your story, your experience of God's goodness? I want you to share this week a story of hope. It doesn't have to be dramatic, it just has to be real. Here's what God's been teaching me. Here's where I've seen him at work in my life. And your story might be the light that sparks in someone else The kingdom of heaven, Jesus describes as a treasure hidden in a field, reminding us that hope is waiting to be discovered in the ordinary. It's like a pearl of royal kingdom worth, showing us that there is nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare to our living hope in Jesus. And the kingdom of heaven is seen in Jesus, the one who gave everything to redeem us and restore our hope. So as we close, let me ask you, what glimmer of hope is God revealing to you today? Maybe he's reminding you that there is treasure in ordinary life. To look at what's beneath your feet, what's under your nose, and dig a little deeper. Maybe he's calling you to let go of something so you can grab, hold firmly, tightly of him and enter into something uncompromising of greater eternal worth. Or maybe he's inviting you to see yourself and others as pearls of great value, great treasures to Jesus, loved and redeemed. Every time you notice God's presence, every time you surrender something for his sake, every time you share his goodness, it's another glimmer of hope breaking through the darkness. And when we do this together, Inglewood Church, when we do this together, our many glimmers shimmering and shining, it's a great light. And it will be even greater when Jesus' kingdom comes in full. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the treasure of your kingdom and the price you paid for us. Help us to see the glimmers of hope in our everyday lives, in small moments, in people, in your word. Teach us to live with open hands, ready to give all for what truly matters. And let our lives shine as glimmers of hope to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing again, Hallelujah, the Lamb. And as we do that, I invite you to stand and sing and make it a declaration of his goodness, the story of our redemption. And in our praising him in the treasure that we found, declaring, this is the standard I live by.